class would have a little bit of that because I feel like listening is not a very sexy subject. Why do I need to know about listening? What does it, I listen. I'm a listener, but it's really amazing how much further it can take your practice. Like she said, it's a method of spiritual research, but what we're going to get into tonight in journeying for others, listening is a huge part of that. And we kind of categorize listening into two different categories: active listening and divine listening. And active listening is listening with your ears, and divine listening is listening with your heart. So both are really important. Where this kind of all started was, this was a while ago. We were talking, or I don't remember what we were doing, but I had said, I want to do sessions like you do them. I want to know how you do sessions. Her sessions are really amazing. A lot of us have experienced that. I want to learn how to do that. And I think a lot of people want to learn how to do that. And the biggest thing that she talked about was listening and learning to journey for others. And I will have to say, as a practitioner, that these two things have really taken my sessions and my practice to another level. And I'm obviously not as experienced as she is. I'm still working with it and practicing it and all of that, but it's amazing, these few techniques, when you're speaking with others, how much they really just take your sessions to another level. So, I'm going to hand out these. So if you want to pass them around, Martin. This is an active listening checklist, and this was developed by people at PSU. So it wasn't developed by us. I'm sure some of you have seen this before. So just take a minute and kind of look over some of them. Or I don't think we need to read through all of them. You can kind of just, or do you think we should?
We'll also send them out in a follow-up email. Did you guys get a chance to listen to the recording?
Where was it sent?
I think we sent it a couple different times. The follow-up email after this, it was that actually its own individual email, wasn't it?
There's two different.
But we'll be sending it again.
Okay.
I just read these and recorded.
And we'll send out the PDF of this too, so you'll get all of that. A couple of really big ones, I think, that have been, I know, huge for me. I'm sure all of these will apply differently to different people, but waiting for people to finish speaking before deciding how to reply, and waiting for people to finish speaking before you assume what they're going to say, have been two really big ones for me. And it wasn't always that I was trying to impede what they were trying to say. I would just get really excited. Like, I want to answer you, and I want to, like, I'm just excited about what we're going to talk about, what the next thing I'm going to say is. And it's really amazing when you stop that, when you're conscious of that, and you're really focusing on listening to somebody. It was almost like an anxious but good energy that I would feel when I would experience that, of wanting to reply and wanting to think of your answer and assuming what people would say. But as soon as you release that, it's amazing how much, like, that for me just flows right out, and I just automatically relax in the conversation. And I can feel myself now going from thinking I'm listening to, oh wait, I'm actually listening. Like, I'm really taking these into consider, like really taking these on board. The other one that's really big that I actually learned from doing the podcast with her is, I would give the kind of verbal cue of, And that is actually distracting you from truly listening. And at the time, or in the conversation, like when I realized that I was doing that, this was when I was listening back to a podcast. I was like, oh, that's annoying. I was totally annoyed myself. I was doing it because I thought that it was telling somebody, oh, look, I'm really engaged in what you're saying. I'm really listening to you. And what I really realized after working through some of these things that actually it is, it's a distraction. It's your brain that is working on something else while that person is speaking. So go through some of these. These are the active listening things. These are really going to help you if you have a client that you're doing interviews for, like your pre-interview type interview is not quite the right word, but kind of your client interview. When you're discussing things beforehand, this is going to be one of the biggest tools that you can use for that to really make sure that you're an open channel and you are really open to what they're saying and really actively listening. A really good tool that she has written an article on and is if you're ever in a situation where you really feel like you need something to help, this is a talking stick. So I think that most of us in this circle are pretty familiar with the talking stick and indigenous and native traditions. The talking stick, you pass it to one person, and it's that you can't formulate an answer until that person has finished speaking and passes the stick. Did I do that justice? Okay. Yeah. Or Danny, you talked about a talking crystal, right? Did you want to like just talk? What did you? What was it?
My friend and I, we would talk over each other because we were just saying, and we're both like air.
Yeah.
We have so
Yes.
much to say really quickly.
Yes.
And so we had these crystals all around, and so this big one. I'm like, okay, we're gonna hold a crystal. Whenever someone's holding it, you can't talk. And it was really worked well though. Because it was kind of funny,
Yeah.
but it worked really well to do that.
I love it.
You're
Yeah.
always around, right?
Yes, exactly. So similar, same thing, you know. So you don't have to have a talking stick, but some object. So it's a good tool to use if you ever need it. So that kind of covers the act of listening. The divine listening is listening with our heart. And like she's talked about that we've had some tools, and what might seem a little more subtle is that the tools that we have been using or that we've done every month are building upon each other. So learning to journey for yourself without having that piece, you wouldn't be able to journey for others. The vision board are going to help you make conscious choices in another way that you can do your spiritual research, do your divine listening, did the red rubber ball, the automatic writing. So these are all tools for your divine listening, listening with your heart. Eventually, you build these muscles, and so your divine listening gets a little bit easier. I know now with her, she can just say, let me listen for it, and it can kind of go more on the fly. I've started to notice that with myself, that my language is switching to let me think about it, to let me listen for it. And it really changes the place where your information is coming from. Also, with the journeying for others, I was actually just talking to my mother-in-law about this today. It's really helped in my discernment as well, as far as like my scope of practice, what I'm skilled at and not skilled at as far as clients are concerned. Also, I definitely can see the discernment in when I actually set my ego and personality aside and I am listening from a higher realm. And it didn't happen, it's happening more and more. You learn to trust more and more. And you learn to notice the difference of when you're really divinely listening from a really high place and when your ego and your personality are in the way a little bit, as specifically talking about like sessions with clients. So, today we're going to just add a few more tools to the divine listening, and then the journeying for others is the really big divine listening, which she'll cover. And she's going to talk about the client interview too. So some of that active listening before a session starts. I think too, because we're kind of running short on time, is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Well, it'll just be woven within all our conversations over the next several months, because out of any skill, you know, I often think of a Reiki 1 and 2, and really teaching people that they can just give Reiki without a lot of skill behind it. And that is true. You really can. And you can, I can, as a teacher, I can tell new students that they can trust this energy and just give the energy. So we also know at the same time there is skill development that occurs in the Reiki practice, and there is mastery that Reiki provides for you and with you to assist in that mastery. Probably the single most important skill for you to develop is that ability to listen. I decided to learn to listen, and I actually did a ceremony, a sweat lodge ceremony, about it. Came in very hard. You would listen. but it has probably been one of the biggest life changers for me, and one of the greatest gifts of freedom.
I know it's almost like I wish we could, when you really think about the term listening, like it is the right term, but it's kind of convoluted in our society now. And so it's like, I really wish we could give it like this really sexy term that, you know, really grabs people and really, really tells them like what we actually mean by the listening, but it's not just, we're listening to a conversation. It's deeper.
That's how you listen to your spirit. Mm-hmm. That's how you listen to your own inner guidance. That's how you go inside. It's all listening. So the external listening, those skill builders that are here, but the external listening is one aspect of it, and that assists you in getting better access internally.
Great. Okay, so now we are going to do a little exercise called Owl Eyes. And so you will need to put your hands kind of out here. So Kim, I don't know if you are going to hit somebody else. Maybe you want to scoot over you might be fine, but just so you don't whap somebody in the face. Okay. So go ahead and take some breaths. We're going to keep our eyes open for the first part of this. Place your hands in gassho. And focus on a distant spot in front of you. And feel your second fingers touch. Now bring your hands up in front of you and separate them, so that they're an inch or so wider than your face. You can still see them at this point. And now, while remaining focused in front of you, move your hands out to the side until you can no longer see them. Hold them there for a second. Widen your vision to your hands. Notice all of the area in between them. So now go ahead and place your hands comfortably on your body and close your eyes and take some deep breaths. listen for the quietest sound that you can hear. Listens to the sounds behind you. And listen to the sounds in front of you. And above you. And on either side of you. And breathe through your nose and notice the smell. And breathe through your mouth and taste the air. When you're ready, you can open your eyes. Come back. So what this exercise is doing is it's starting to open your perceptions when you couldn't see your hands anymore, when you started to bring your vision to the sides of you. It's interesting how you can see them all of a sudden. It's starting to give you a 360 perception of the awareness in the room. And the listening and the seeing of things, because seeing isn't always just this visual thing. You can open your perception so you can see further around you. So, yeah.
Well, it certainly adds to your perceptions all around you and your ability, I think, in the real world to perceive around you, but also in your spiritual research. Changes your focus and it opens your focus. A lot of times I actually feel like I hear from back here, and that's metaphorical at the same time I say that, but it feels like the information comes in from behind me. And so this chakra where your this is called the mouth of thought chakra. It's like the eyes and the listening and perception can be interchanged as well. There's an ability to perceive from each one of your chakras. So being able to listen from a whole body, or hearing from a whole body. And I always think of, you know, people living in wild situations when they're out on the farm for 20 years or 30 acres in pretty wild conditions. And I definitely had the ability to listen all the way around me. And subconsciously. You know, what are the animals doing? What are the birds saying? What's happening around some physical realm that's useful? It's also useful in the spiritual realms. And the action comes from the spiritual information as it comes in. It does the
well.